accounted for service. Numbers chapter 3, verses 14 to 39. Here we observe the work that is assigned to the Levites. They were priests and Levites in the service of God, in the sanctuary that God has instructed Israel to build in the wilderness. And there, in the service of the sanctuary, you need men who would do the various tasks that were assigned them in order that the...
Excuse me, we are on page 2, is it?
Yes. Huh? Yes. Yeah. In order that we may be able to move forward with God and His help, there is a need to ensure that each one knows their particular duties, and that there would be particular disciplines that God would grant us that we may be able to do the work that He has assigned for us. So for the Levites, their work, their service is rendered in the tent, the tabernacle, the covering, the hangings, the ark, the table, the candlestick, the altars, the boards, the pillars, the sockets, the pins, the cords. Well, one said, "I carry the Christ." The tabernacle was the symbol of the presence of God in Israel and the presence of God to the world. And these were men who were assigned in order to set up the house of God. A most sacred duty. And you see God assigning this work to specific families, right? Two thoughts, huh? Specific families and specific task. First one, Numbers chapter 3, verse 15, we saw, "Number the children of Levi after the house of their fathers by their families, every male from a month old and upward shalt thou number them." Now, you notice that for the Levites, you number them from 1 month old, all the males. Whereas for the men in the other tribe who were drafted into the army, they were all 20 years old and above, right? But for the Levites, a month old, they were counted. But what can a month old baby do? They can't do much, right? But they are counted because they would grow up to belong to that family of people who would be up and about in the work of the sanctuary. So we see, though it appears afterwards, Matthew Henry wrote, that little more than a third of the Levites were fit to be employed in the service of a tabernacle. That's only 8,000 of the 22,000. Numbers chapter 4 will tell us. Only 8,000 of the 22,000. The rest are just either too young or too old, but they belong to that family. God would have them all numbered as retainers to His family, that none may think themselves disowned or rejected of God, because they are not in a capacity of doing Him that service which they see others do them. So, the Levite of a month old could not honor God and serve the tabernacle as those that had grown up. Yet out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, the Levites' praise were perfected, Matthew Henry wrote. Let not little children be hindered from being enrolled among the disciples of Christ. For Such was the tribe of Levi. Such is the kingdom of heaven, that kingdom of priests. So they start early. They were included in the work. And you notice the redemption of the firstborn is from a month old, right? A month old. So those from that age, page three right on top, were numbered. They were numbered after the house of their fathers, not their mothers. For if the daughter of a Levite married one of another tribe, her son was not a Levite. But we read of a spiritual priest out of God who inherited the unfeigned faith which dwelt in his mother and grandmother. That's the New Testament character, Timothy. Right? Timothy's grandmother and mother were Jews, although the father was Greek, but he inherited the faith. He inherited the faith. In the New Testament, it is not according to the Old Testament traditions, but as long as a person is taught to know Christ and he's saved, he belongs to the family of Christ, and he can serve regardless of his pedigree. In other words, his social status, regardless of... in heaven, God does not distinguish us. In heaven, we are not divided like you see the societies today divided. In heaven, God deal with us according to the rewards that he gives us when we would meet him. So God wants us to prepare to meet him, and heaven will be a very different place from this world that we live in. How were they distributed? There were three classes according to the number of the sons. According to the number of the sons of Levi, Gershom, Kohath, and Merari. And these were subdivided into their families. Okay, the Gershonites, there are three classes that is accounted for their number. The Gershonites were 7,500, right in the middle of page 3. The Kohathites were 8,600. The Merarites were 6,200. The rest of the tribes had not their subordinate families numbered by themselves as those of Levi. This honor God put upon his own tribe, Matthew Henry. And all the Levites were taken from age 30 to 50. And once again, we are reminded of the vows of Leviticus and the present leadership needed right now in the work of the Lord. If service is rendered to the Lord, it must be rooted in the heart that is righted by the grace of God. Spence says, service rendered otherwise is of self alone. So all these are placed to serve God. But how do you serve God? How do you serve God? Well, you serve God by the grace of God, by the character, by the strength that God gives you as a spiritual person. Right. And all the Levites, and so Levi had three sons. The three sons, Gershom, Kohath, and Merari, all three were in the service of the Lord. Right. The word Gershom means exiled. He had two sons, Libni and Shimei, and their families were counted, 7,500 souls. And Kohath, the meaning is assembly. He had four sons, Amram, Izihar, and Hebron, and Uziel, 8,600 souls. And Merari, the name means bitter, had two sons, Mahi and Mushi and the family 6,200 souls. So you see, when they are involved in the work, in other words, the whole family is involved. Right? They are all involved. Why? Because it's a work that requires them to have such consecration. Right? You know, you can't be one serving here and another one there and another one there. It's all jumbled up. Not like that. But together. So here we said specific families and specific tasks. Specific tasks. Of their charge, when the camp moved, each class knew their own business. It was requisite that they should, for that which is everybody's work often proves nobody's work, right? If you don't assign anybody anything, nobody will do anything. Right? You have to assign them something to do. Right? And so, we pray that God would give you something to do. Okay? That the Lord would grant us His grace, that we would do something for Him. Okay? What will we do for Him? Well, as the Lord would grant us His grace, assign us a task, what was the criteria, right? Last week we saw, what is the criteria for service? It is faithfulness, right? That we would be faithful to the task that God gives to us. And you know, you may be just attending the Bible study, coming for Bible study, know God. But if you would be faithful in studying God's Word, right, the Lord would bless you. Right? You come with a heart of devotion, come with a heart to pray. You know, do not despise any kind of work that God has placed you to do, right? Especially in the matters of being instructed in His Word. Right? When we are instructed, then you know we would be guided by God's Word. So God's Word is not only in the head, but God's Word must come to the heart. Right? When God's Word comes to the heart, then the Spirit of God will use the Word in the heart to work in your heart and send you forth to do something for the Lord. Right? So there's a period of preparation. Right? How can we prepare? We get ready. And so all this, the men of Levite were prepared. Right? They were prepared. God prepared them, assigned them specific tasks, whether they carry one part of the furniture of the tabernacle, they will do that, that particular task. Okay, so if that person who is supposed to put the lampstand, right, forgot, didn't do, then the tabernacle will be missing the lampstand, right? If he drops it, if he didn't take proper care of it, then you'll find that everyone is affected, right? So in the service of His sanctuary, it is also the same. Right? Whether we are assigned to do this task, whether we are assigned to do that task, this task, you realize that each one performed that vital function that no one else can do. Right? And if we are assigned to do a task, then what must we do? Well, we must do it well, right? How can we do well? Well, we prepare ourselves, prepare our spirit, prepare our heart, prepare our body, right? Prepare our mind to the task that God had assigned us to do, so that we would put our heart, soul, mind, and strength, right, to the service that God has given us to do. And that's such a privilege. So for the Gershonites, they were responsible to the Lord for service to be rendered in charge of the tabernacle, the tents. Page 4 on top, page 4. The coverings and the hangings of the door of the tabernacle. And the Kohathites were in charge of the ark, the table of showbread, the candlestick, the altars and the hangings and all the service thereof. The Merarites were in charge of handling the boards, the pillars, the sockets, the pins, and the cords. So each one has a task to do. All right. So each one must learn how to do that task and to prepare to do the task. Right. So, you know, when the cloud goes up, it's time to leave. Then the various person who is assigned the task must go and pick it up. Get it ready for the furniture to move. And then the whole camp can move, right? The tabernacle and all that will be leading the group. So if someone is sleeping, then you'll find that, you know, the thing will not move. So each one has a task, and each one's task is so vital. That's why God says, you know, that God's assignment of reward is according to faithfulness, right? That you be faithful to a task, right? If you can do something small well, that's already a very great thing, right? Because it requires, any small task requires dedication, right? You say it's a small task, nobody see, nobody, right? But it has a great impact on the overall wellness of things. So, you know, do not think that we need to be doing something that is, to have the attention that is needed to cause us to think that this is an important work that we are doing. That mustn't be. That's the world would go for that, all right? That you seek for attention, you seek that you want to be known, you want to. But that is not the way by which we ought to be serving, right? You serve quietly, you serve to do the task, not for any self appointment, self glory, you know. So it's important. Because then each one understands. If not, there will be a lot of strife going on, right? Hey, everyone wants to be, you know, I say, hey, this one, I want to be prominent. It's going to be chaotic. But everyone, if they understand God's economy, that at the end, God is the one who will reward, and how he rewards. For faithfulness, for a particular task that you do, then you would understand, then there would be peace in the whole way by which the tabernacle and the sanctuary is set up, right? And it's time to move and it's time to go. Everything would move by itself, right? Because everyone knows his task and everyone is serving who? Not themselves, but serving the God of heaven. And that's important. And that we must learn so that we would serve God with the right motive. We serve God for the right rewards, right? Not the reward of man, because that one doesn't last. But for the reward that God would give us. Right? Remember we said that when we get to heaven, there's no social status. What we belong here is not would be the what would be the heavenly economy. Right? What is the heavenly economy? Your faithfulness of service here on earth. How you serve God in your devotion to God, into every task that he puts you to do. You put your heart to it, for his honor, for his glory that you do all these things. The right motive, the right understanding. And you'd receive the reward and you know it. And there will be great joy, you see, in our service, right? Then the whole body of Christ will be edified. Edified means to will be built up. So we pray the Lord bless our service in whatever task that God has assigned us to do. So the Gershonites were to carry the burden of the large and bulky items. This signified the large burdens of life in service as well as the character of patience and long suffering. So, you know, in the work that we do, in the various tasks that we do, your character comes forth, you know, right? Your character comes forth in the task that you do. And it is not, at the end, you know, just as you see when we saw the life of Abraham, right, when God called him to come to Canaan, what was his life like after he came to Canaan, living in the tents, year in, year out, rearing his family, teaching in his family in the ways of God, surrounded by enemies, and that, you know, God said to him that this land would be your inheritance, that your children will be like the sand of the sea, stars in the sky, but, you know, he still didn't see the promises fulfilled, right, in his life. Right? Up to 25 years, still no child of his own. So what was God seeking for Abram to know? To trust God, to follow him unconditionally, to follow him, to know that God will not shortchange us. Sometimes we think on our own and say, hey, how come, you know, I don't find myself rewarded for the service that I do for God? I don't want to do. But you realize that God rates our service according to our faithfulness, right, to the task that he has assigned us to do. And so we understand it, and there will be a mindset change. Mindset change, right? It's different from the people that you know in the world. Their motive for work is quite different. Right? You realize that you have a different, you serve your master, God, the God of heaven. So, you know, your present master here, you serve as unto the Lord. You're not really serving them, although you are serving them, but you're serving your God, you see, in your service for them. So, you know, later on we'll be studying the life of Jacob, the life of Joseph in our Sunday service, and you'll find how godly people would serve, right? Joseph served as a servant in a hostile environment, and yet he find the favor of all his masters because he's a trustworthy servant, right? In other words, the master know that if you tell him to do something, he will do it. And he would do it well for you. You know, he will not cut corners. He will not hide. He will not do this and that and that. He can be trusted, dependable. Yeah. And that we see in the life of godly men, right? And how God blessed them. God blessed them because, you know, Joseph was trusted by the Pharaoh, right? The Pharaoh made him the prime minister. So You know, Pharaoh don't even worry about any other thing except, you know, the meal that he has, the cup that he drink, and all the other thing he entrusted. So he was to a man whom he found, not his own people, a Hebrew slave, and yet dependable, can be trusted. So who was Joseph serving? He was serving his God in heaven. Right? Pharaoh was the master, but God has put him there. So he served Pharaoh. And how he served with distinction. He understood, you see. So you see here, God has assigned the family of Levi to serve in the tabernacle. And their work involves them encamping around the tabernacle. Right? Psalm 34, verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." Everyone knew his place and must therein abide with God. So here there is a way by which God hath assigned the work to be done. All right. And also, there is, each class has its own place. So each had its own prince. The commander of the Gershonites was Eliasaph, page 4 at the bottom. And the Kohathites was Elizaphan, of whom we read that he was one of the bearers of the funeral of Nadab and Abihu of the Merarites. Then you see that, you will see the picture. It's a bit small now. We have seen it before. But you will notice that they were all encamped, right, nearest to the tabernacle. Okay, they were encamped nearest to the tabernacle. And they have a task that God has assigned them to do. A great privilege to be so near, so nigh to God, right? So nigh to the presence of God, the blessing of God's presence, God's peace, God's joy with them. Right? So we thank the Lord that we can be a part of His service, you know. You can be doing these things, little things, here and there. But you'll find that it's a thing that would bring honor and glory to God, because it would bring together the body of Christ to be in the worship of God. So may the Lord help us. We would speak and hear.